Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. So we were talking about the difference between vibrations or resonance and the actual movement of something by the Zav, who bumps into something, knocks off. Case was knocked off. Akika Shel Truma was the case that we started off with. So how about in a case where things are specifically movable, a door? I mean, a door is not going to be able to be unmovable by definition, and it's always a little bit loose. And therefore, if you had a piece of something that's mekabel tuma on top of a door, the zov bumps into the door, and whatever was on top of the door falls off. That for sure is not the vibrations. That's the actual heset of the zov. Or a neger, which is a doorstop, or a man'ul, a lock that's hanging on the door, or on a mashot, which is the oar of a boat, or al hakelet. Now, the kelet is the same idea as the yam that we spoke about before, and the yam is very heavy, but the yam is part of the ground. It's attached. And a kelet, on the other hand, is something that is a movable container which catches the flour that's coming out of the grind mill. The al ilan shekochora, if it's a bendable tree, or even if it's a solid tree, but this thing is on a branch that is weak, al socha shekochora, even if it's an ilan yafeh, and he hits that branch and the thing on the branch falls off, or a sulam mitzri, which we saw before, is something that is movable. There we were talking about the question of one person moving the other. Here we're talking about bumping into it, hesed, not in terms of midras, but it's the same idea. If a sulam mitzri is not nailed into the wall, it's eino kavua b'masmer, so then it's always wobbly. Ala kevesh, ala korav, ala delet, all those cases that we had before, there we brought it benogea, one person's moving on another person when they both step on it together. If they're not actually cemented to the ground, in all these cases, whatever falls off because the Zav bumped into it is considered to be Tameh, and it is therefore Tumas Heset.
What about repeating Dillet? Because it's a different situation than the first one.
Yeah, it's a totally different situation. Why only Dillet? All these cases, we're repeating every single one of these cases. Sulam Bits, every case we discussed before. Over there, we discussed it in terms of two people standing on the same thing. There's a question of one moves the other. And here it's a question whether, there was talking about midras. Here we're talking about hesed. And it's the question of whether if something was on this, was it moved directly by the zav or was it moved by vibrations of the zav?
I'm sorry, but why are we repeating Dillet in this Mishnah? What's the difference between the first time and the second time?
I just said twice why we said Dillet. Which aspect are you referring
to? Hekifel Dillet and Baal Dillet.
That's a Dillet. Oh, that's a Dillet that's on a doorway. This is a Dillet that's over, it's over a cellar entrance or something. It's leaning on something. Not an attached. What?
I see.
This is the Dillet, the same case of the Dillet that we had before, Benogea Midras. Now, there is a machlokas about one case, and that has to do with weight. So let's say you've got a Shida, Teva, a Migdal. So these are basically storage units, large storage units, a clothes closet. These are large things, and they're not attached, but they are heavy. So they're meant to be moved, and therefore the pashtus would be, according to the Tanakhama, that if something falls off, you had it on top of this heavy closet, you bumped into the closet as a zav, then it would be metame whatever fell off. Whereas Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Shimon, say even though you're right that it's certainly movable, but there's also a concept of heaviness, which means that we don't consider something to have actually moved if it's that heavy. And therefore, even though it's movable, we attribute the falling of the piece of bread that was on top more to vibration than we do to the actual acceleration, because there probably wasn't any acceleration since it was so heavy. Okay, also a logistics. Mishnah Daled in Perek Daled. So we've been talking until now the past Mishnayos. We'd moved on to Tumas Hesed. Now we've got another question that revolves around Tumas Midras, but it's a question that we had not raised yet at all. So we talked about before the Chamisha Drachim, that you can be Metame, B'Midras, and so on, but we didn't really define the way in which the Zav is doing these things to the Midras. Turns out it makes a big difference, because when it says that the Zav is Metame Midras, it means that he's actually, his weight is on the thing that is Mekabel Midras. Now, there we spoke about, how would it be on the thing? Well, it would be standing on it, sitting on it, totally on it, and so on. But now we want to talk about, how is the weight distributed? So suppose we have a situation in which his weight is distributed over different things, all of which are Mekabel Midras, but none of which are supporting most of his weight. And since it's Hazav and not part of the Zav, if you would have, let's say you've got five park benches, you know, I should say park benches, they all have backs to them, but you've got five of these simple stools and lined up one next to the other, and he sleeps across them. So then each one of them is supporting one-fifth of his weight, right? So that's not considered to be Midras, even though he's literally lying on them, because none of them are actually supporting Rov of the weight of the Zav. So let's say a Zav was Mutala Chamisha Safsalim, or even on Chamisha Pundiot. Remember the Pundia? Where do we have the Pundia? Lo Yikanes Adam Bepundato. You're not allowed to walk in with a money belt into the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Arabai. Now, that means that the Pundia is going to be Mekabel Tumas Midras because it is a piece of clothing, and you would often lie down on top of it. Now, suppose this guy has got a lot of different Pundiot. He puts them down. He wants to make sure that nobody steals anything while he's asleep. So he sleeps with his weight over five of these Pundiot. So then it depends. If he was only Le Orkan, fine. So then if his body, that means that his weight was across one of them, then, of course, we assume if he was asleep that he is moving around in his sleep, and he's moving around by rolling across one of these stools, one of these money belts, and then the other one. So we have to assume that all of them are tummy. But if he was only lying across them, across the width, the rochvan, then they're tar, because not any of his full weight was on top of these things. And even if he turns around, even if he goes from one side to another side, but he's always has his weight distributed according to the number of stools that he's sitting on. So the rochvan, they're tahar. So this is if he's sitting. But what if he actually falls asleep? And he's the kind of guy that moves around a lot in his sleep. Then there's going to be a suffix, shenita pechalehim. He might have actually changed position so that at one point or another, he was actually along the length of one of them or all of them, or we don't know which one. So therefore, we have to assume the worst, and we make them all tamei. Let's say this guy is one of these people that is sort of oversized. When he comes in to get his airline seat, he's got to buy six seats, you know. So one seat he uses to put one of his fat arms on, and one seat he uses to put another one of his fat arms on. And he's got the seats in front of him, you know, which are bent down so he can put one fat leg on one and one fat leg on the other. And then he's got his head on another one. This guy's a big guy. Six tickets for every trip. Anyway, the only one that is going to be tummy is the one that he's got his tush sitting on. So Gufo is on Echad. The only one that's tummy is the one that's supporting most of his weight, which is his torso is on one of them. And Eino tummy ela hazeh shetachat haguf. So here too, if it's definitely distributed weight, only if he's got rove of his weight on them. How about if he's standing on two chairs? And he's got one leg on one and one leg on the other. So Rabbi Shimon says if they're far from each other, then the guy is constantly trying to balance himself between these two chairs, and he's trying to keep it exactly even, which means that he never has his rove of his weight, because that's the whole thing he's trying to do, is to avoid falling in one direction or the other. And therefore, we don't view that as being rove. It's always going to be merza al merza, and it's not the rove of the zav.
The Rebbe, he's going back and forth at one moment.
He's not going back and forth. He's balanced. And the balancing is not something that is called back and forth, because it's feedback that is subtle. It's very subtle feedback, and you don't actually see movement. So he's keeping it as even as he can. We're not talking about having, you know, one of these gram-sensitive scales. And what we're talking about, where it's clearly he's meant to be resting his weight on one or the other. Now, we still have time, so I think we can do Mishnah Hey. So now, it's important to realize, remember, that Tumas Midras does not require any maga whatsoever. It's all about weight. So let's say you've got 10 talitot, one on top of the other, and he only goes to sleep on the top talit. That's the classic case. All of the talitot are going to be tame. This is the princess and the pea deal, which, as we said, only makes sense if the pea is made as jewelry. If it's just a regular pea, so then it would even be tame as Elyono Shel Zav. You wouldn't need Midras Zav, as we're going to see. Now, let's talk about the different ways. So remember we said before, you could stand. All right, we talked about standing a minute ago. You could sit. We talked about sitting a minute ago. And there's also the idea of being tole the Zav on something. So give me some examples of that. This was discussed way back at the last Mishnah in the second parak, where we went through the Chamisha Drachim. So let's imagine a seesaw. It's easier to think about seesaws than talking about a big commercial weight, because we don't really use those much anymore, but we still do use seesaws. So let's talk about a seesaw. So you have a Zav who's on one side of a seesaw, and you've got a Mishkav or a Moshav on the other side of the seesaw, which, of course, would make more sense if it wasn't a seesaw and it was a weighing device, because usually couches don't play seesaw. But, okay, we put the couch on one side, and what happens? If the Zav is heavier, so then the things on the other side, which were roi for Tumas Midras, are not going to be metame the Tumas Midras. But are they tahar? Of course not. Why are they not tahar? Because it's going to be tame because of a hesed. And when we say over here that it's tahar, we mean it's tahar from Midras. Because since the Zav moved the couch, and the couch didn't move the Zav, so that is the classic Midras Azov, which, as the Rambam says, is absolutely unique and not found anywhere but in Zav and Friends. So if Korah HaZav, so then they're Tahorim from Midras. They are Tomei Behesed. But if they weighed down the seesaw to lift up the Zav, then they're Tomei Midras. Why? Because the Zav is essentially his weight is on the bed. What do you mean on the bed? He's nowhere near it. That's not the point. The whole idea of Midras is that something is supporting his weight. Is this bed supporting his weight or not? Obviously it is. Why is he in the middle of the air? He's in the middle of the air because this bed is supporting his weight, holding him up in the air. So this gives us the actual picture of what we mean by toilin Binogea Midras, and where it would only be the opposite case, if he weighs them down, where it's the Tumas Hesed. So keep this picture in mind so that it will always be clear to you what some of the more esoteric cases are of Midrash were so abstract that this is a couch that he is lying on. That's true. His weight's on the couch, even though he's nowhere near it. And that's the seesaw effect. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now it depends, because look, we said if his weight is distributed, then it's not going to be Tumtame Midras, right? The same thing is true over here. You said before that if he lies over four benches, that the five benches, he's not going to be Tumtame any of those benches if he's lying across their width. Well, the same thing is true here, isn't it? If you've got one couch, fine, I understand that couch. He's lying on that couch because his weight is supported by that couch, which is why he's kicking his legs in midair. So if it was b'yachidi, it's tamei. But if there's a lot of these things, then they're tahar, because you don't have one that is supporting rov of his weight, and because of that, we cannot be metamei it b'midras, because it's the same effect that we have, except that over here, it even applies in the abstract, you see. It's not the question. It was easy to understand the previous Mishnah where you watch the Zav's weight being distributed. But what's the difference? Abstractly, you're still looking at the weight of the Zav distributed across a number of different couches. And therefore, we don't have any one couch that we could say is supporting Rov of his weight. Brilliant, beautiful, lovely. So nice to finally get to the clear-cut distinction and abstraction about the nitla, which people often find very confusing. Okay, Rabbosai, a lot of fascinating Mishnayos today. Wishing you all a wonderful continued day with much bracha and besorot tovot. Kol tov.